Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
As a student athlete, I was part of a build. I was part of a brand new program when Niagara started back in 1998. And so as a student athlete, that was a very special experience for me. Was obviously able to play 4 years. And in our 4 years, we saw great success. And so, yeah, it's definitely fuel for this experience.
And our guest this week is Allison Coomey. She is the head women's ice hockey coach at the University of Delaware, just hired to the position. She will be building the program from scratch. And Allison, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
So, I mean, this is obviously an exciting opportunity, but what made it the right opportunity at the right time for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've been coaching the game for quite a few years now, and coached players at the highest level. I've coached at programs that do things the right way and want to succeed. And for me, Delaware's exactly that place, a place you can excel in the classroom, on the ice, and do it at the highest level is something that was really, really exciting to me.
Was there an extra draw of getting to build it?
Absolutely. As a student athlete, I was part of a build. I was part of a brand new program when Niagara started back in 1998. And so as a student athlete, that was a very special experience for me. Was obviously able to play 4 years. And in our 4 years, we saw great success. And so, yeah, it's definitely fuel for this experience. And obviously starting from scratch allows you to build your own history, you know, and vision and create that for the student athletes that are going to be a part of it.
So if I'm correct, your first season of competition will be the 25-26 season. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes,
so for
correct.
People who aren't familiar, what is at the top of the depth chart now as far as putting the pieces in place to get ready for competition? Because I think some people hear that don't understand how the sausage is made. It's like, well, what's she going to do for 2 years? Obviously, there's a lot. Kind of what are the things you've got to tackle here before you kind of maybe pivot to getting into the grind of a season after season?
Yeah, I mean, that's the most interesting part. I've never been, you know, in my 21 years, aside from COVID, which was a little weird. I'm always like ready for like, you know, the season to start. And so the approach is just a little bit different. And recruiting piece is probably the biggest piece. So getting out and identifying, you know, what types of players are going to be helpful for us in when building a program, and players that are going to be able to sustain and you know, want to stay at Delaware. You know, we're in an environment where the transfer portal is rampant. So finding players that are excited to build something, are going to stay with it, and ultimately want to win a championship, you know, when their time expires here. But that's probably the biggest piece, is finding the pieces that are going to fit. Obviously hiring staff in the not so distant future. I can start by hiring one assistant and then have them for the year to help me. But all the little things, you know, even just the day-to-day of having conversations with people at Delaware and understanding this place. It's a great place. And I think there's a lot I can utilize to help push recruiting. But all of those things, like learning, just learning the way here. And I think for Delaware athletics, learning more about ice hockey and what that entails. And so hopefully I can educate them while they're educating me in this process.
From the outside, I would think as a recruiting tool, being a new program would have upside and downside. And what I mean by that is the upside is it's going to resonate with kids that want to, as you said, build something, get on the ground floor, set the precedent for what this Delaware ice hockey is all about. But I would imagine some kids might be leery because you have an impressive resume, but a program, you know, it doesn't have anything to lean on, you know, what kind of success stuff like that. Do you feel that is going to be something that there'll be a push-pull within recruiting? And will that kind of tell you if you're on the track with the right kids you need?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, I think a lot of players these days, they do want to go to programs where there is the ability to win and win right away. And realistically, it's going to take us some time to do that just because we are starting from scratch. And I want the basis of our program to be players that want to come here, develop. We're going to focus on the little victories and, you know, have those victories become bigger victories as time goes on. But it is a challenge to, you know, to find those players and those people that are willing to do the work to bring success down the road and ultimately leave this place better than they found it, because, you know, there's not much here to start with. So they're ultimately going to leave this place better. And that's my goal.
And I know you guys, there's a partnership with the Flyers that I saw in the headlines over the last week. Kind of talk a little bit about that and what that means as far as kind of helping to plant the flag of Delaware ice hockey.
Yeah, it was awesome to meet some of the staff on Saturday and just to really see their genuine interest in growing the game on the women's side. I think it's so unique and so special, especially being, you know, linked with a professional team. We're the only Division I college program linked with an NHL team, which is a huge selling point, I think, to, you know, not only players in the area, which we're going to focus on those players, but, you know, in the world, honestly. But yeah, I think the partnership is unique in the fact that they're ready to learn from us as much as we want to learn from what they're doing, and everything from coaching development, player development, internships that they're allowing, you know, that they're offering to the entire student body at Delaware. So the whole profile of the school is impacted by the NHL, you know, by the Flyers specifically, which is really, really cool to be a part of.
So let's talk about your backstory. How were you introduced to hockey growing up?
My brother played. I have a twin sister. My brother played. He's about 10 years older than us. I think at some point in high school, he was like, this isn't really my thing. He's more of a music guy. But we grew up at the rink just like following him. And so we both started around the age of 7 and fell in love with it. And yeah, obviously it's been a part of my life ever since. But grew up in Syracuse, played house league hockey, then travel hockey, and then went on to play Division I ice hockey and lacrosse. My sister and I both played at Niagara, both played both sports. So it was also unique, like being able to play with my twin at a new program was really fun.
What position did you play?
I was a forward.
And how about your sister? Was she a forward as well?
She was a forward too. So growing up, we played a lot together on the same line, which was fun.
How did your games compare and contrast? Were you basically the same player or were your skill sets different?
Very similar. Both saw the ice. Like I feel like both of us were very smart hockey players in terms of being able to see the ice and both had pretty good hands. I think if you asked our coaches and our teammates, those are probably the two biggest things. I think the hands from lacrosse, I think that really helped. But yeah, more of like seeing the game than goal scoring in high school, but in college, it was more of being able to see the game.
What was it about the sport past like being around it with your brother for so long, but like about the sport itself, what was it that resonated with you when you were a kid? Like what not just drew you to it, but made you fall in love with it?
Yeah. That's a great question. I just loved it. Like I remember one of my first memories of hockey. It was honestly like my first practice. I remember waking up, putting all my equipment on, going into my parents' room and like trying to wake my dad up and like, "Dad, it's time for practice." And like that feeling just never left. You know, I went to college and I went to school for education. And I say to people all the time, wow, I get to teach what I love to do. And that's like the best thing ever. So I can't pinpoint one thing. I think the relationships to me are so important. And so hockey's unique in like that locker room aspect. Like you spend a lot of time in there and just the relationships that you build along the way as a coach, but as a player, that's what kept me in it. I think it's a unique sport in that way that you get to spend a lot of time with your teammates around the games and around the practices and not just in that 1 hour, 2 hour time slot you're playing the game.
When growing up, did you realize you were pretty good?
You know, I wouldn't say I was like a rock star.
But you played Division I hockey. So there's a certain level of excellence you have to reach for that. So was there a cognizant moment when you realized that you were starting to get talked about more or coach, you were getting pulled aside more and asked a bit, if you want to play for this? Like, do you remember that?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I do remember that. I think for me, it was, I look at it now and I'm watching kids recruiting and there were moments where I was like so nervous out on the ice and my parents would be like, "Why are you so nervous?" And I'd look up and see all the coaches and being on the other side now, like my advice would be just to play your game. I mean, we're there watching 100 different kids, but we're only seeing you 3 times. We're going to see you again at the next tournament. So I do remember like those moments a little bit more. I'm sorry. I kind of went on a little bit of a tangent, but I remember those moments and I remember my college coach being there quite a bit. And so as she continued to watch me, I was way more comfortable as time went on. But yeah, it was really fun. And to experience it with my sister was also a special kind of experience. Like we were both recruited by Niagara. And I think that's kind of why we chose it. Like it was one school that we were both kind of recruited by.
So you mentioned lacrosse being a big part of your life as well. How did skill sets complement each other? Like, did you find things that you worked on in lacrosse ended up being very beneficial in hockey and vice versa?
Yeah, like any player on the net, I played a similar position in lacrosse. So seeing the ice a little bit differently in terms of trying to relate it to certain aspects of lacrosse that would help and vice versa. You know, there were certain shots I took in lacrosse that no one was taking because they didn't play hockey, right? So like sidearm shots, low shots, stuff that you wouldn't probably think of if you were just a lacrosse player and didn't have that experience. And again, vice versa. But, and it's something I look for now, how your ability to see the game, and you can tell the players that do, you know, play multiple sports, how they can see the game just a little bit differently or read the play a little bit more ahead than maybe some others that are focused a lot on the skill set, but not necessarily the game component.
Why Niagara when it came to colleges? And were you and your sister, were you a package deal? Like, however, when it was going to be the two of you?
Yeah, it's funny because like we never, like we always said, well, if it ends up that way, great. And, you know, I think in the back of our minds, we were always like, we want to go to school together. And so, you know, Niagara afforded us that opportunity. But to me, it was like, and I think this is an important piece of when student athletes are looking at places, if you step on a campus and you say to yourself, wow, I can really see myself here, then it's probably the place for you, right? That's the feeling I got when I stepped on that campus, aside from meeting with the coaching staff and knowing like they were going to take things seriously there. That was a big piece of it.
So you played both all 4 years of college, your entire college career?
Yep.
How big a challenge was that? Because, I mean, it's hard to get your arms around one varsity sport, let alone two. Did you have to give a little in each as far as, well, I've got a game for X, so I've got to miss this offseason workout for Y? Like, and were the coaches, I guess, on board and cool with that?
Yeah, it honestly worked out because when we originally went to Niagara, we were only focused on playing ice hockey. And then the lacrosse coach found out that we played lacrosse in high school for a good program, like a program that, you know, a lot of my teammates in lacrosse in high school went on to play Division I schools. But we were like, all right, yeah, let's play. And so it became more of like hockey season was hockey season. And there were times where, you know, if we had like a day off and lacrosse season had started in February, yeah, maybe we're going to do a couple of drills with the team and just be around the team. But we didn't really go to lacrosse until hockey season was over, which made it challenging at times because, you know, your lacrosse team had been together for 2 months at that point, and now you're coming in, you know, you might be taking someone's spot, but you're also trying to find your way in the group. So I think the first couple of years were a little bit more challenging. Our last year in hockey, we went so far that it was just more time away from lacrosse. But both really cool experiences in teams in terms of like team dynamic and just having, you know, an extra group of friends.
Did playing lacrosse help keep hockey fresh? Like you had this completely different outlet that kind of kept the athletic fires burning, but it wasn't the grind of hockey. And I don't mean to paint like one in a poor light, but just something different that you were able to do that was able to maybe recharge you a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, going from playing in high school where we were busy every season with a sport, that part of it was like, okay, now it's just lacrosse season. Never had a spring break in college. Like, don't know what that looks like. Haven't really had it as a coach, so I'm not really sure what that looks like either. But yeah, like just a different, you're with a different group, you know, you're doing a different thing. And that was all fun. That was all a lot of fun.
And you mentioned that last year, you guys went to the Frozen Four, correct? That your final year at Niagara?
Yeah, my final year, we went to the Frozen Four. So at that time, there were only four teams. And again, a lot of this is like different now with the number of teams. So only four teams made it and we were one of four. So it was like Minnesota, Duluth, Minnesota, and Brown in that group. So the cool thing is all of those teams were coached by women, which is pretty rare. Mm-hmm. So all head coaches were women of that Frozen Four, which looking back on it now is pretty special. Special then, but looking back on it as a female head coach is pretty special.
Would that be at the top of your list of favorite college memories, that experience?
Yes. Yeah. And it wasn't necessarily like how successful we were, but like knowing where the program was when we started and then where we finished and the teams we were playing against at that time, like that was the ability to stick together, know what we were worth and compete the way we competed was really fun. And I just really loved the team.
Did you always figure coaching was going to be something you pursued, or was it something that once the playing days are over, you need to stay in the game? And that was the logical next step.
Yeah. I mean, I went to school for education because my mom was a first grade teacher. And I was like, we're very similar in that way. And I was like, oh yeah, like I want to be a teacher. And then my junior year, one of our assistant coaches at the time had gone to coach at Connecticut College, which is a small NESCAC school. And she, during my senior year, had asked if I was interested in coaching, and it didn't really cross my mind. And I was like, well, yeah, that would be awesome. And I can pursue a master's degree. So really I went into coaching to pursue a master's degree and try out coaching and see if I liked it. And it just became, I ended up getting a master's, but it was kind of a byproduct of the coaching as opposed to the other way around.
Master's in education?
Master's in school counseling.
Okay. How much does that educational background in counseling and education, how much has that helped you as a coach over your career? Like, has it given you an expanded toolbox to pull from in situations?
Yeah, I do believe that it's helped me understand, like being patient with your understanding of people, right? Like listening, like how important listening is and listening before you respond. And so those little subtle things, and obviously like, you know, we are so fortunate now to have sports psychologists that can help our student athletes out, because wearing two hats in that space isn't ideal. And it's just not, I don't know if it's helpful for the student athletes if we're trying to help them in that area as well. But I do think it helped to a certain extent. And the type of player I was, like, I wasn't a superstar. I was more of a role player, so I could relate to those players a little bit more. But I definitely think it helped, just in terms of the whole listening aspect and trying to understand and have empathy and all of those things.
We need to take a break on One-on-One. We will have more with University of Delaware head women's ice hockey coach Allison Kumi in just a few moments. But right now, there's nothing quite like the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid when it comes to exhilarating efficiency. With hybrid technology and thrilling capability, these vehicles deliver an electrifying performance on every drive. This new year, discover for yourself what truly makes these hybrids special. Redefine your driving experience with Honda. KBB.com's best value brand of 2023. Contact your local Honda dealer today about the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid. And now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's return to our conversation with Allison Kumi, the head women's ice hockey coach at the University of Delaware. When did you make the decision? Because you get, as you said, you get the opportunity at Connecticut College and it feels right. And you're also pursuing your master's. Was there the internal conversation that coaching is where it's going to be? No matter what, we're going to be following this path. Because I think a lot of people early on, yeah, I'd love to do it, but I got to pay the bills. I got to do X. I got to do Y. And did it crystallize right away that it was going to be this?
Yeah, for me it did. And I will say the reason why I stayed in it is because of the people I worked for and what they provided me. So my first year of coaching, obviously working with one of my former assistants at Niagara, she gave me a lot. Like, you know, I was on the road, like I was able to get on the road right away and see what recruiting was about. I was able to coach right away. And so that to me was so important. And then you know, from there, I went to Plattsburgh and same thing. Kevin Houle is still there, but it was his first year with the women's side. And so he really leaned on me because, you know, I was a female athlete. And so I understood the game from that perspective, obviously more than he did. And so that was a great experience. And then I went back to Niagara and worked for my previous coach and just learning from that side of things, how important it is to be detailed, and just her knowledge of the game was amazing. And then from there, I went to Boston University, and Brian DeRocher was the head coach there and had just kind of come from the men's side as well. But his ability to just really relate to people, and you could tell they genuinely cared about every single one of his student athletes, that resonated with me. And then to go to a place like Penn State where Jeff Campersall, who's been around for a long time, he's allowed me to do a lot in terms of the X's and O's, but he's a very smart coach. And so I learned a ton from him in terms of that as well. And just, again, caring about student athletes. So all of those experiences, I think, kept me in the game, but I was definitely hooked right away from my first year.
I'm curious, in your early coaching career, was there a first moment when you found yourself saying something that you remember hearing and rolling your eyes about as a player, and you kind of got that, oh, that's what they were trying to tell me?
Yeah, I don't know if I had, like, it's been so long, I can't remember a specific instance, but man, did I learn so much more about the game after I played. I was like, oh, I wish I knew this, you know. And maybe part of it is, like, as a player, you're only focused on, like, you know, I had to focus on, like, what I could do to be better. I didn't necessarily see the larger scope of things at times. And to me, yeah, that's what I learned after. I'm like, gosh, I wish I could just go back, rewind, now that I know more about the game and be able to execute it.
To that point, overall, as your coaching career goes along, what are the biggest lessons you learn? Not just maybe about the game, but about being with a group and leading, helping lead a group and stuff like that. Like, what are some of the big lessons you've learned over the years?
Yeah, one of the biggest lessons to me has been how important communication is and how important it is to understand people. You know, I've been to programs where we've had to rebuild or we've started kind of newer, and just that. And it's coach to coach, it's coach to player, it's player to player. That player to player piece is so important. It doesn't matter what we teach them, X's and O's. If they can't get along, we're only going to go so far. And we're going to go that much further if they can understand each other, get along, and want to win for each other. And so to me, that's been the biggest thing that I've learned.
When along in your career did you start to feel like you were ready for your own program?
Yeah, I think I would honestly say these past 7 years at Penn State have really. So when I left BU and went to Penn State, my role shifted a little bit in terms of just what I was in charge of or what I could do. And then having the ability to kind of run with things, like Jeff allowed me to run with a lot of things. And so I was able to really see it for myself, as opposed to standing back and being, you know, when you're like a second assistant under people that you've played for and coached, you know, coached with for a while, I couldn't necessarily see myself there. But once I made that shift, it was a lot, I don't want to say easier, but I was able to kind of see, okay, yeah, I can do this. And it's going to be hard, but if you're surrounded by the right people, it's possible. It's not only possible, the ability to do great things is there.
How would Allison Kumi, the player, respond to being coached by Allison Kumi, the coach?
I think she'd like it. That's a great question. I think she'd like it. Yeah, I do really value what our players think and what they're seeing and want it. I want to relate to them on that level before I tell them what to do, right? So it's easier for me to say to do something, but if they don't understand what I'm telling them to do, then they might not be able to do it. And so really understanding like where the student athlete's at and how I can help them be better and develop.
Kind of going along with that, this is a question I love to ask coaches. How difficult was it at the beginning of your career, and maybe still is now, ceding control in the idea that you can tell a player, I want you to do X. You can show them on the board. You can go over on film. They're the ones that have to jump over the boards and make it happen. And as someone who played at a high level, at a Division I level, I would imagine sometimes you're like, just do this. Why can't you do it? Was that difficult early in your career? Like that everybody kind of learns differently and you can only do so much and you've got to lean on, this is why your coaches say all the time, and especially in college, I'm dependent on 18 to 22 year olds doing what they're supposed to do. Like, how hard was it ceding that control?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely evolved as I've gotten older in terms of like understanding, okay, this is a fast game. It gets faster every year we coach it. And I'm not on the ice having to make, you know, having to decide, like three things are happening and I have to make the right decision at the right time. And I'm realistic about that now. Like, I do think when I was younger, it's easier to stand on the bench as a young coach and be like, well, you should be doing that. Like, obviously. And a lot of times the players like know what they needed to do. And they just, for whatever reason, couldn't do it. I do think there's a certain element to, well, you know, there's, can you do it? Like, are you physically able to do something? And I would say that, you know, we can't really get on them for not being able to physically do something, because that's a skill set. We've got to work with them on it. If we've taught you this numerous times and we've gone over certain things and you're still not able to execute, well, then we might have to change who we put out there to do that. But so I do think there's two different ways to look at it. And it is important to develop them as much as we can, but also understand what their skill set is. And we can't be critical of things that we understand they potentially aren't able to do, or not right now. So the patience piece of it is really important. And that's something that over the years I've been able to understand a little bit more.
As a coach, do you prefer practice or games?
Ooh, that's a great question. I see value in both, and I enjoy both. I think in practice you get to interact with players a little bit more, where sometimes in games it's like, you know, I mean, I'm obviously focused on the winning piece, and it's just hard. Like, when things are going fast, it's hard to like stop, you know, you get one time out a game. You can't be like taking timeouts just to like talk to the group. But yeah, I mean, practices allow you to see everybody in their element. You know, games may not allow that because of where you are in a game, what you're trying to do, if you're able to get everybody out there or not. Like, it's just not as much in the control of coach at that time. And so I don't know if I answered your question. I kind of like both.
One of the interesting things in doing this podcast and talking to a lot of coaches is I, on the outside, would think that it would be like 90-10 games, because you're just like, well, that's what it's all about. But then you do get that. It's pretty much probably split in all the people I've talked to in all the sports. And the more you think about it, it is, because the practice is kind of, that's where the relationships are forged. And that's where the, you know, the getting better and the really the key to coaching, seeing the kids get it and the lights go off. That's got to be where you see it mostly in practice, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, you know, there's certain players that might not be able to show those, some of those things to you in a game because of just how things go. But yeah, being able to see those light bulb moments, that's one of the big reasons I got into it and why I'm still coaching.
How exciting has it been to see how far the game of women's ice hockey has come from your playing days to now? Because, I mean, it has just exploded, as we've seen across multiple venues for women's sports. But I think hockey is one of those that's just taken a quantum leap in the last couple decades. What's it been like to be waist deep in it and see it?
Yeah, it's so cool. I mean, I just think when I was younger, you know, I used to go to Cornell camp because we lived close to Cornell. And those are the players I looked up to. And now it's like, wow, you don't only have college teams. Now you have professional teams that you can and look at. And I was talking about this the other day, but in terms of like recruiting, like our new professional leagues have players from all different conferences in NCAA. And so I think that's pretty special too, where you're not just getting certain leagues representing teams in the PWHL. It's all leagues. And I think that's something that's, you know, people can see and relate to. But the growth has been unbelievable. And to see it just like continue to, like, I do think college hockey will start to balance out a little bit with the transfer portal and COVID kind of, and COVID especially kind of going away. I do think it'll start to balance out, but it's so exciting. And I was so excited to hear when Delaware was adding, because to me, it's definitely a sport that should be added. I'm biased because I played it all my whole life, but it's such a fun sport to watch. You know, there's no reason why there shouldn't be more programs out there aside from, you know, some expenses.
Now, in addition to all the college coaching we've talked about, you've done a lot of USA coaching, Team USA coaching, correct? What were those opportunities like, and how did that give you a different perspective than maybe what the college coaching gives you?
Yeah, I mean, the U.S. camps and coaching opportunities I've been able to be involved with, to me, it's so much fun because you're seeing the players like at the highest level, and you're, you know, if you're going through a practice or coaching a game, like everybody is like so good, and so those fine details are the most important. So seeing the game from a different perspective in terms of, all right, I might not have to like, I don't have to completely change a national team player's game, but if there's something minor that I see that I could point out to them, hopefully that helps their game a little bit, you know, that much more and how significant that little bit is, at that level. But just, I mean, their work ethic, their determination, their ability to grow the game just by being who they are and huge advocates, like that was really awesome to see, because I know a lot of them can just focus on themselves and what they need to do to make the next team, but they're doing a lot of work to grow the game. And that's, I admire them for that, to be playing at the highest level, but to also be concerned about the next generation that's going to fill their shoes.
And you were on staff for the 2022 Olympic team, correct, in Beijing?
Yes, I was a scout. So I basically would watch the other teams and kind of, you know, record their tendencies and share that with the coaching staff. But it was a pretty awesome experience.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was that like from a hockey standpoint, but also just from a life standpoint, to not only get the chance to be part of an Olympic team, but also to get to go to Beijing?
Yeah, I mean, I went during COVID, so it was a little interesting in terms of that. Obviously, being an Olympic in an Olympic experience is amazing. So just seeing athletes from other countries representing their sports, like that was amazing. I learned a lot. It's interesting. Everywhere I've been in terms of schools I've been at, but with the national team, like, you know, learning how different countries run their systems and how effective those things might be. And just kind of taking that all in, and keeping those tools for hopefully future. But so interesting to see how, you know, the European style of hockey versus the North American style of hockey and what works, what you could tweak a little bit. I learned a lot about that, and the people were great. Like the coaching staff was awesome to work with. So really fortunate for that experience.
Does success hit differently as a coach than it did as a player?
Yeah, I think just as a coach, I look at success a lot through the, you know, through what our student athletes are doing and the players in general. Like when we win, I'm happy for them as opposed to just being happy to win. And so that, you know, I think that's pretty special. To me, it's more than it was as a student athlete. That was fun because I was surrounded by my friends, but now I get to see it from, you know, look at all the work, like the hard work they've put in to get them to this point. And then they work together to win something, you know. Team sports are so fun in that way. Like you have to work together to win. And so when you see that happen, it's really special from a coach's perspective.
And as we're recording this, you have only been in the job for a little bit, but how often have you thought about what that first game's going to be like as head coach at the University of Delaware in 2025? Like, have you allowed yourself to kind of think about what's going to be that first time behind the bench and how exciting it's going to be?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit surreal kind of like thinking about that moment. You know, I anticipate there being a lot of people there to see what it's all about. I anticipate a lot of players, you know, on our team never really having college experience. And so, you know, that being their first time and what those emotions are going to feel like. But yeah, I've had a little bit of time to think about it, but not too much yet, only because I don't have players on board to really help me visualize that. But the feeling I can visualize.
Allison Kumi, this was great. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much.
And that will do it for this episode of One-on-One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. Want to thank University of Delaware head women's ice hockey coach Allison Kumi for being our guest this week. Now, if you like the show, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, do us a favor, leave us a rating and a review. You can follow the show on X at One-on-One Pod. You can follow me there as well at MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next time when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam, so you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.